Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and Kaolu Fox is a PhD candidate at the University of Washington Department of Genome Sciences, and his work focuses on the application of genome sequencing to increase compatibility for blood transfusion therapy and organ transplants. He's also the co-founder of Indie Genomics. It's a tribal nonprofit organization with a mission of bringing genomic expertise to indigenous communities. He and Joe Yarshetta joined me last week to talk about Kaolu's Fox's visit to the Cheyenne River Reservation, about empowering Native Americans to do more research on genetic health disparities.
One of my main problems with genomics is that it seems like it's all white men that are interpreting ancient genomes and telling the whole history of humanity, which is problematic to say the least, because, you know, being the first to discover something comes from a place of violence a lot of times. So if that person isn't trained to interpret that data in a culturally sustainable way, it privileges their history versus privileging the history of the people that should be interpreting those genomes. So I would rather have an indigenous person interpret the ancient genome of someone from, you know, one of their ancestors, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And so this, so then bring it to today. What can we learn? What do we need to know?
We can learn a lot about our histories. And I think people have this funny idea that natural selection and medicine are not related, and they are dialectically intertwined. They are very much related. Our evolutionary past is directly related to the health disparities that we observe today. So in understanding our history, we understand where we're going, and if that manifests in health disparities and other things, that's very important for health everywhere in, you know, all over the world.
And in that, that's in developing medications and all of that as well.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. In developing medications and treatment.
Because,
go ahead, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah. So we were at a community meeting last night, and one of the more brought up subjects by the community is dissemination of this information and implementation of some sort of program to change the health disparity. And that's what is often lacking in these large research projects, is they collect the data, whether it be for anthropological purposes or for health-related purposes, but then there isn't any follow-up, there isn't any implementation or dissemination of the information. And that's because off the reservation, there are structures and institutions whose job it is to do that, you know, whether it's the Department of Public Health or it's the CDC or something like that. And that, those structures don't exist here. And tribes need to be aware that they should be asking for that resource along with the research. The other thing that I'd add on to what Dr. Fox just said was that there are a lot of things that come with the research that people don't usually talk about. There's infrastructure, there's education pipelines, there's business opportunities, there's you know, K-12 education development. All of those things normally come along with research off reservation, but on the reservation, it's more of kind of dipping your hand into a honeypot and then walking away.
Yeah.
And we want, of course, the honey to stay here and be able to create more pots to collect the honey, if that's an apt analogy.
I think it is. I'd like to piggyback on what Joe just said, too. Seems like a lot of these scientists, I'm not going to call out names, some of them that are involved in paleogenetics, they are like little butterflies. They just flutter around and go from community to community to community. Now, I'm interested in working with Joe and the Lakota people because I'm here to provide any sort of advice on my journey to getting a PhD for the youth. But I'm not directly interested in working on their genomes. That's their job. I'm interested in working on the genomes of my people if we can do it in a culturally sustainable way. I'm not a little butterfly. I'm not going to fly around and work on other people's history, if that makes sense.
So you're not here to do this. You're here to share why they need to do this.
100%. I think that it's way more empowering to educate the next generation of Lakota scientists and have them be the sort of point guard or the guardian of providing governance over that data, because they know their community way more than I could ever imagine to know their community, right?
Talk a little bit about what you're seeing then with science education on the reservation.
I think what's going on here is exceptional. They have this Research on the Res series and research rock stars of science, and they are bringing in the tribal youth and exposing them to new ideas, because a lot of the ways that science is taught is colonial. So you have to deconstruct that colonial framework, and the seminar series they're putting on is a great way to do that. And it challenges the way that science is taught in the classroom everywhere in, you know, K-12 education systems, undergraduate educations, and graduate school. But it's important for students, especially brown ones, to see other brown people up there with PhDs challenging the system.
This is something that's going to take some time.
Absolutely. It is going to take some time. We have to train the next generation of scientists, and there are several sort of fellowship programs that we've created that are sort of, you know, indigenous run, and we have a certain epistemology that we're trying to share that challenges the norm that exists within the sort of quote-unquote ivory tower of academia. So it will take time. It takes generations. It takes generations.
And I wanted to add that the reason why Keolu is so important is because he's young. He's a handsome young man. He's Hawaiian, and he grew up in a condition that would predict that he wouldn't have gotten this far. He grew up in the D.C. area in not such a great neighborhood, and he was able to achieve all of this and be not only at the top of his field, but also be working for indigenous voice and indigenous rights over a lot of this information, which is even more extraordinary when you consider that Hawaiians do not have sovereignty and American Indians do.
And Keolu, how?
Yes.
What was your inspiration?
I have a lot of forms of inspiration. I've always loved history and antiquity. I think my inspiration was the lack of inclusion and the lack of diversity in science, was not seeing people like us have the privilege to, you know, explain and interpret our own history and determine our trajectory in science. You know, when you look at the numbers, they're not good, right? And I think part of it had to do with, you know, like LeBron James says, statistically, I'm not supposed to be here. So it gives you a sort of added motivation that other scientists may not have that come from traditional backgrounds.
And so your message to young people on the reservation is you can do this too?
Absolutely, you can do this. Not only can you can do it way better than your Haole counterparts who are occupying that space and privileging that perspective. And I would also say that the indigenous knowledge and perspective that you have got from your kupuna, your elders, that is extremely important in recombining that indigenous knowledge with scientific knowledge will lead you to conclusions and solutions that no all these scientists will ever be able to have. And that is more important than anything that, you know, they could ever do.
Self-empowerment.
Absolutely self-empowerment.
And part of that self-empowerment comes at breaking down myths. And unfortunately, you know, data is king, and Indigenous people can't just argue, or they don't have a political champion to get the resources they need. So they have to collect an abundance of data to have any action on the local conditions. And so some of the things, or most of the health disparity, are social. They're socially determined, and very few, I mean very, very few, are genetic. But you still have to give that proof. And like alcoholism. Alcoholism was determined by Arizona State University 2 years ago not to be any more prevalent or genetically determined in American Indians than any other population. Yet that myth persists. And so, you know, it's almost that proof for Indigenous people becomes a non sequitur, because even though you can have a library full of proof, getting past some of those tried and true stereotypes or racial determinations persist. And so giving the students or the community that kind of empowerment to say, look, we've done that experiment, we've done that test, and it's not true. And you have to keep doing it over and over again. But that's where we are.
And I'd like to add on to that, to piggyback onto that. It's not that we haven't been doing science for thousands of years. We have. In the case of Hawaiians, we had, you know, the most advanced wayfaring technology probably in the history of mankind. We had used and aggregated bird migration patterns, ecological data, wind systems, constellations, all of these things to determine our trajectory to discover islands in Polynesia, in the largest ocean on planet Earth. Many different Indigenous populations have been practicing science and searching for the truth. It just hasn't been within the academic system or framework, so it's you know, denigrated.
Well, and my mind goes to diabetes on the reservation and research on diabetes, not so much alcoholism, but just finding, you know, and that takes to the agriculture and the genomics in agriculture and food and and all of that, and wondering if this is this empowering young people to embrace science, if this is a topic that they're going to be passionate about.
Yeah, diabetes, I kind of have a, you know, I'm focusing on, I'm in an endocrinology fellowship program right now, right? So that's kind of my primary focus, is obesity and type 2 diabetes. It's a common complex disease. So the genomic contribution to it is present. But as Joe alluded to earlier, this is more of, this is context of what is the long-lasting hangover of colonialism. It is that it has separated us from our traditional diets, been replaced with industrial agriculture for foods that we did not evolve with, right? We did not eat these things. And our sort of change in lifestyle is a Western lifestyle, not an Indigenous lifestyle. So that lack of activity results in higher rates of metabolic disease, and then compounded with our poor diets, high in sugar. You know, don't drink soda, kids. That's just not a good idea, right? But all of these things are popularized and easy to access, and, you know, and our lack of exercise.
Talk me through a little bit about your week and the rest of your week, and other projects that you're working on.
Yeah, so we will be having some meetings with some suits, and then we will be, on Friday, giving a class and tutorial on genome editing technology for a number of students that live here on the Cheyenne River Reservation. And we'll be focusing on bioinformatics tools and the future of genome editing.
We also, so this symposium or series of lectures are usually a week long. They have a red talk or TED talk like evening. And as Dr. Fox alluded to, there's a course somewhere during the week for high school and college students. And then we have an evening with the researcher, which is a low-pressure kind of social atmosphere for people to feel free to talk about anything. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about his research. It could be a bi-directional conversation about why certain types of research topics are inappropriate or they're missing the mark because the problem isn't genetics like diabetes. The problem is a social problem.
And Keolu, I know you come to teach, but I'm wondering what you've learned.
I've learned that it's really cold here. And no, I'm teasing. I've learned a lot. I've learned about different perspectives on the origin stories of the Lakota people, which is invaluable. I mean, it's amazing to hear about different people's culture and the types of friction that science bring for that culture, because sometimes science and a community's history are at odds. And it's interesting for me to hear about the ways that this community is navigating that relationship.
Keolu Fox and Joe Yarshetta joining me last week to talk about their visit to the Cheyenne River Reservation about empowering Native Americans to do more research on genetic health disparities. This is Innovation.